Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever and never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together from Psalter 337, there of all the stanzas. Thy wondrous testimonies, Lord, my soul will keep and greatly praise. Thy word by faithful lips proclaimed, to simplest minds the truth conveys. All the stanzas of 337. From the God's holy word, we wish to read a portion out of the second book of the Kings, there of chapter 2, the first 14 verses. 2 Kings 2, 1 through 14. But let us first make confession of our Catholic and undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 2 Kings 2, the first 14 verses. And it came to pass, when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord hath sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said unto him, Knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, Yea, I know it. Hold ye your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Tarry, I pray thee, here, for the Lord hath sent me to Jordan. And he said, As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And they two went on. And 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off. And they two stood by Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle and wrapped it together and smote the waters. And they were divided hither and thither, so that they two went over on dry ground. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me, and when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And then Elisha saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and rent them in two pieces. He took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him, and smote the waters, and said, Where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he had also smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens, God of the universe, ruler, creator, and upholder of the same creation which thou hast created. It is in the evening of this thy day that thou hast given us once again a place within the walls of this thy house. Lord, we beseech thee, may thou bless abundantly the provision of Zion, and give that in this evening there may be seed for the sower and bread for the eater. That there may be something, Lord, that may touch our hearts. This day these are thine institutions. And thou hast said of Zion, This is where I will dwell. For thou hast loved the habitation of thy house. And the poet of old did say, One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, there to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. Lord, may we have come up with holy desires, with true longings, to hear thy voice, to see thee in the sanctuary. Our Lord, Thou knowest if there is a people here tonight that cannot live without the Lord, where Thou hast come to reveal Thyself in all Thine attributes and hast exalted these attributes as such that they cannot but bow before Thee with holy awe and reverence. Lord, so often we approach unto Thee without thinking who Thou art. We are so sinful, Lord, and may Thou give an impression of it, that so often we are thoughtless in our prayers, and that our prayers have become a long list of desires and wishes, without first coming in the dust before Thee, confessing that we are not worthy of the least token of Thy mercy. O grant us that low place in the dust, where God can do no wrong, and where the Lord does everything right, as the psalmist said it in the psalm, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. Thou hast commanded Thy disciples to pray, Thy will be done. Our Lord, by nature we are against that will. We rebel against that will. But we beseech Thee, make us also one with that will. And wilt Thou then also make known what is that perfect will of God, also in this evening when we have come up to hear what Thou hast now to say unto us. Oh, then we pray that Thy word may have power there where it never had power. Then we pray, wilt Thou convert the unconverted? Wilt Thou work mightily among our children? Bless all the means that are put forth, also in our school. Lord, help the teachers to be faithful unto their daily calling. And grant that also the school may be used for the extension of Thy kingdom. Remember those that stand afar off. Thou knowest the state of the flock. Thou knowest where Thy children are gathered and what their needs and wants are. Oh, wilt Thou in this evening come, Lord, as a surprising God? Visit Thine inheritance. So often in the strife, so often, Lord, in places where they have brought themselves through their sins and unbelief, through their backslidings. As the poet exclaimed, as a sheep I have gone astray. Our Lord, seek Thy servant. May that be our prayer in this evening. Grant also exercises of faith. Because it is through the exercises of faith that Thou dost work that blessed assurance of faith. And Lord, so often Thy people, after receiving grace, they tend to rest so in where they were found. But grant an increase in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is so necessary, Lord, because there Thy name, there Thy salvation, there all Thine attributes become more and more glorified. Oh, wilt Thou not pass us by? And grant in this evening that there may be an echo in the heart, that we bring not a strange language to this people, but that there may be something whereof we must say, thus saith the Lord. That there may be a word or two that may fall in a well-prepared heart. That there may be some of that seed that is bound to bring forth some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Lord, undoubtedly, and according to Thy word, much seed will also be lost this evening. Much seed will fall by the wayside. There will be seed that is ready to be picked away by the birds of the air. There will be seed that will spring up quickly. and it will prove to be a faith whereof thy word shows that it was of a temporary nature. But Lord, according to thy promise, there will also be a seed that will fall in a well-prepared ground, where it will bear fruit to thy name's honor and glory. And we beseech thee, oh, that thou wouldst in this evening glorify thyself, bless thy word, wherever it is proclaimed in the world, also there where there is persecution, there, Lord, where there is no freedom to gather, remember those that are persecuted for the name and the sake of Jesus Christ. Grant faith to cling and cleave unto thee, and teach us, Lord, to hasten for our life's sake, because the time is short, redeeming the time while the days are evil. Remember the congregation. Bless, Lord, all the labors, also of thy servant, our dear brother. Wilt thou remember him together with his wife? Bless their labors. They have advanced in age, and hitherto thou hast helped. Remember them also where they are. Remember Mrs. Basin as she recovers from surgery. Grant her a speedy recovery, so that soon they may come again to a labor in the place where thou gave them a place. Be mindful of the brothers of the consistory. Help in all the official duties of elders and deacons. Bless the administration of thy word. Remember all the activities in the church and in the school. Wilt thou help, Lord, every day? May thy kingdom come. May the dominion of Satan be broken down. We pray also for the labors on the mission field. Bless our brother in the ministry there with a team. The church is there. Undoubtedly, Satan will also be active and busy to destroy. But Lord, thou hast said, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world, gladdened by thy deeds. Remember widows and widowers, those who are lonely, those that have wounds in their life, in their heart. Visit them, Lord, that go over the earth with crosses, hidden or revealed. Also among young people, help in all circumstances. Bless our families. Remember parents in the difficult and responsible task of raising children according to their baptismal vows. Lord, we cannot keep our children with thy word and with the truth, but wilt thou keep them? And may this evening also a good report be given of the land. And wilt thou bless thy word, strengthen thy servant also this time. Every time is a new time. Every time he must beg for the opening. Because, Lord, if thou dost shut, no man can open. And if thou dost open, no man shall be able to shut. Be then in our midst, gladdened by thy deeds and by thy coming. Be a surprising God. Yea, Lord, be everything for us. Keep from sin. Keep from wandering thoughts. And hear us for the sake of him who is at the right hand of the Father and exalted to be prophet, priest, and king. And we beseech thee, will thou also in this evening administer out of those blessed offices of Christ and grant us grace, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Congregation, let us continue by singing Psalter number 30. there of all the stanzas, to Thee, O Lord, I fly, and on Thy help depend. Thou art my Lord and King most high, do Thou my soul defend. In the meantime, your offerings will be received. May the Lord bless you and your gift. Psalter number 30, all the stanzas. Congregation, with the help of the Lord, we wish to meditate this evening about the farewell of Elijah. There are many lessons hidden in this well-known history. Lessons from the life of a prophet who was perhaps more known for his actions than for his words. Elijah, that prophet who was actually a man of contrasts. Sometimes we can read the histories of the Old Testament and focus mainly on the things that happen. Then we know the history. Children in school can relate when they are asked what it was about. They can relate to the history itself, what happened, step by step. But congregation, these things are not only in the Bible to, in that sense, if I may say it thus, satisfy our curiosity. There are also spiritual lessons for the church of God. Lessons for the congregation that are contained in these things that happen. So I hope, children, that whatever you hear tonight, you may remember, but also the message in it. Because Elijah, a prophet of contrasts, we said, suddenly he appears on the scene. There he is in the life of Ahab, the king. There he stands. There he makes an announcement. No record of his birth, no names of his parents. Suddenly, 1 Kings 17, there he is. And equally suddenly, he disappears. And in between lie 18 years. 18 years where the Lord used this servant. At God's time, he came. And at God's time, he leaves. A man of contrasts, we said. Once he requested that he might die. And actually, he never saw death. That's a contrast. That's something remarkable. He requested that he might die. And he never died. A man who burned with fire, with holy zeal, as it were, that was as a fire when he stood there on the top of the Carmel. He would be translated into heaven by chariots of fire. One more thing before we go to our text. The very thing for which he became most known, namely his courage, the very thing for which he is mostly celebrated, became the thing in which he ultimately also failed. Courage. Courage. That is often the case, congregation. Things that may be what we would call our strong points, things in which we may excel, may at the same time become our weakness. When I see Elijah there standing, facing those 400 prophets of Baal, then we can be amazed. What a strength, what a courage. And that he actually commands to slay those prophets of Baal. What an act of courage. And a few moments later, one word of one woman. One word of one woman. One sentence causes him to sink down under the juniper tree, where he requests that he might die. Congregation, this evening we consider spiritual lessons from Elijah's farewell. Let's read the words from 2 Kings 2, the verses 9, 10, and 11. So the focus is on the lessons from these verses. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of thy spirit be upon me. And he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken away from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. And it came to pass, as they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire, and parted them both asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. So far. Spiritual lessons from Elijah's farewell. First place, lessons from his final journey. Secondly, lessons from a final request. And thirdly, lessons from a majestic departure. Spiritual lessons from Elijah's farewell. The first place, lessons from a final journey. Secondly, lessons from a last request. And thirdly, lessons from a majestic departure. Yeah, congregation, first lesson. Lesson from the final journey. When thinking about Elijah's final journey, that's what it is about, first thought tonight. Can we think of a lesson? A lesson that pertains to all of us. I imagine During the summer vacation, many people traveled. Perhaps many people took a journey, shorter or longer. How many of us did not do some traveling? How many of us thought about life's journey while journeying? How many of us thought about our last journey, our final journey, which we don't know when it will take place? Now that's the first lesson. There is a lesson contained. Perhaps we had skipped that lesson already, congregation, but we must remind one another. And how quickly are we to skip over those important lessons? And you know, John Bunyan, he writes very movingly about that final journey of Christian. He writes very solemnly about that crossing of the Jordan of death in Pilgrim's Progress. Several people must cross that river, we read. Not just Christian, but also a man named Hopeful. And also another man who is called Ignorance. He also must cross the river. And we read that they came within the sight of the gate. But between them and the gate was a river. And there was no bridge to go over. And the river was very deep. We ever thought about it? Lessons in our first main thought from the final journey. How many of us thought about that final journey when we did a lot of traveling in the past months, perhaps? No bridge to go over, and the river was very deep. And then we read that it is told them they must go through, or else they cannot come to the gate. They must go through. You know what that means? That means we must all die. That's what it means. They must go through that river. And congregation, that's now a solemn thought. And the pilgrims, they began to inquire if there was no other way to the gate, to which they answered, yes, but there hath not any save two, to wit, Enoch and Elijah. Two received another way and had not passed through that river of death. And then Bunyan writes, ye shall find that river deeper or shallower as you believe in the king of the place. Deeper or shallower. That last enemy of the people of God is death. Oh, what can that be looked up against, congregation? And you know, sometimes it's not so much as what lies beyond that river that troubles them, but what lies before them. That last enemy. And Christian looks back one more time when he arrives at the gate. And then he sees Ignorance coming over the river. He has been helped across by a ferryman who is called Vain Hope. Lesson. But no one came to meet him. No one came to greet him. not with the least encouragement. Congregation, are our papers in order? When asked for that certificate, they had nothing. And they answered not a word. You see, lessons from a final journey. And you know, there is something remarkable in this history. Elijah, he doesn't mind to be alone. If you or I would now know that tonight would be our final journey, what we now just described out of Pilgrim's Progress, if you and I would know that like Elijah knew it, would you want to be in the company of people? I think I would want to be by myself. I think I would want to be in my inner chamber. Would you not? Would you want to be with other people? Elijah chooses to be with other people. He travels to Bethel and to Jericho, and he is with Elisha. And there he meets not just one or two, but many sons of the prophets. 50 or more in number. And Elisha accompanies Elijah on his final journey. You know what that now shows? Elijah is prepared. He can die. How many people can say that here tonight? And boys and girls, that's not something you should say for later. May I lay that question in our midst this evening? Elijah, he can die, even though he is not to see death. He can go, if I may say it that way. How many people here tonight could say the same thing? Because if truly you can go, then you are truly prepared. And then you can be with people. Elijah did not leave that most crucial and that most necessary work for last, as so many people do. Because they all count, don't we not? Don't we count on a deathbed, for example? Lessons from a final journey. Shall we take it to heart? And congregation, there are more things that are remarkable. And that is that apparently the Lord had made the departure of Elijah known to more than just one person. To more than just Elijah himself. We could say there are three groups of people in addition to Elijah who know about it. In the first place, Elisha, he knows about it. As a matter of fact, he is reminded by the sons of the prophets. All those sons of the prophets, that's the other group, in Bethel, know about it. And the sons of the prophet at Jericho also know about it. And Elijah wants to visit them on his final journey. But what is so remarkable is that no one may talk about it. That's quite something. No one is permitted to say a word about it. Congregation, Bethel and Jericho. Remarkable that there are sons of the prophets there. Two unlikely places, because in Bethel, that's the place where Jeroboam had instituted the service of the calves, a false religion. Jeroboam had said, it is not necessary to serve the Lord in Jerusalem. You can also do it in your own way. It was a self-willed religion there in Bethel. Amazing. Surprising. That in Bethel, the Lord has sons of the prophets, children of the prophets who perhaps Ahab had killed and Obadiah had hid and fed. Surprising where the Lord maintains His church. I know where thou dwellest, even where the seed, the throne of Satan is. Congregation, we don't determine that. The Lord determines where He keeps and maintains His church. And Jericho, cursed city. And there the Lord has also much people, sons of the prophets. People with spiritual discernment, apparently. For how do these men know? How did they know that the Lord was about to take Elijah away? There's only two possibilities. Either the Lord showed it to them, or secondly, they could see it. In the sense of that man, that woman, that boy, that girl is ripe for glory. You can see it on him. No one saw it on Elijah when he sat under the juniper tree. Then no one said, that man is ripe for glory. Then Elijah thought it himself. But now, lessons from the final journey, congregation. How did all these men, how could they see? How did they know that Elijah was going to be taken up or taken away? Maybe you could see it on him. Dr. Hutchison called Andrew Gray a spark from heaven. What do we show? Lessons from a final farewell. A spark from heaven. Yeah, let's ask one another tonight. What do we radiate? What do we show? What is our walk as parents, as children, as students of the school, as office bearers? What do we show? What goes out from our walk, our talk, our appearance, lessons from a final farewell? You know, it's truly remarkable that while they all know, the sons of the prophets in Bethel and the sons of the prophets in Jericho and Elisha, they may not talk about it. Hold ye your peace. Silence. The matter may not be discussed. Not a word. It may not be shared. And so they go. Congregation, what is a lesson of this remarkable silence? Elisha cuts it off. No more talk about it. Perhaps we must learn from this that not every spiritual blessing can always be shared. And I say that on the one hand to the encouragement of some souls perhaps in our midst who struggle with that. Can be shared. Sometimes character can be an issue. I'm sure the elders notice that. And house visitation, not everyone speaks easily. Character, personality, liberty the Lord must give and cannot be taken. Some people can talk very easily. Some people can always talk. Sometimes they only talk for the sake of talking. But a true spiritual talk, when it is truly about the core of the matter, is rare, congregation, is rare. And you know, these things are in the Bible for a purpose. This matter apparently may and cannot be talked about. Maybe there is someone here tonight that needs that encouragement. Oh, it can sometimes, there can be things that cannot be talked about. Spiritual things that are impossible to share. Let me illustrate that with an example. In one of my former congregations, it was actually in Holland, there I once made a visit, and through the front door, in order to get to the living room, I had to walk through a dark hallway. It was dark there. There was no windows there. I'm sure there was a light switch there, but it wasn't on. But it was a rather long hallway that led to the living room. And we visited there for a while. And as we walked out, I noticed in that dark hallway a plant, a house plant with flowers. Apparently, there are flowers that blossom in the dark. Well, now listen. When I see here the multitude this evening, maybe there are such flowers that blossom in the dark. It's not so easy to share. It's not so easy to talk about it. And yet, there are things that you may not deny. There are things the Lord has worked. And you know, sometimes a person cannot speak about it, especially when it concerns deep trials. Difficult things for the flesh. Difficult things to speak about. Hidden crosses. But sometimes also those things that keep a child of God close to the ground. Close to the Lord. Things that you cannot talk about. Let it be an encouragement that you're not alone. Hold ye your peace. Elisha says to 50 prophets, and the next stop, hold ye your peace. Cannot speak about it. Sometimes the Lord also hides certain things which keep a soul from speaking about it. That can also happen. That the Lord hides a certain thing in His wisdom. Our congregation, I believe there is a real need there. Because so often we are only focused on the ones that are talking. But there are also souls that are kept from talking. Wrestlings which keep them from speaking. Wrestlings which are strictly reserved for the inner chamber. William Perkins, he writes that the conscience cannot be healed unless it first is wounded. Imagine such a wounded soul. Imagine such a wounded conscience. Ah, the Lord knows how to prick the heart. Imagine such a wounded soul. When the Lord lays bare what we now truly are, that's something else than to become the converted man or the converted woman. That's something else than to present ourselves to the foreground. Our congregation, maybe there are such souls that are holding their peace. Or when the Lord sends afflictions to hurt their sinful pride, there are such people in the flock. There are such people in the congregation. And you know, then there is yet another aspect of this holding your peace. Even what you sometimes say does not at all may mean what you really think. I just said that a true spiritual talk is rare. A true revelation of the heart, so it is, Reverend, so it is between the Lord and my soul. You know, I wish there were more of such conversations where all the things that we can use to make it look nicer are taken away. We are such clever masters in polishing things up. Maybe there is a soul here tonight that cannot speak an account of what the Lord has done. And now Elijah's departure apparently is such a matter. Why does it go so different? Elijah's life has been one chain of unpredictable events. Elijah could not predict what was going to happen next. Unsearchable are the ways of the Lord. Holy, past finding out. Ravens, the most gluttonous birds of the world, the Lord sent Elijah bread and flesh. A heathen, starving widow becomes his host. You know, Elijah, hij kon het niet bekijken. He could not foresee what the Lord would do. Sometimes there are things in the life of a child of God that force that child of God to be silent. And why do such incomprehensible things happen? Oh, perhaps to bring you closer to that purpose of the Lord in your life. Oh, trials for God's church, they never come alone. They're always sent with Christ in them. Lessons. The second place. Lessons from a last request. We read that it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee before I be taken away." Congregation, a last wish. What would you say? If you now tonight received one opportunity to say what you really would like, what would you say? What would it be? Our last answer. What would it be? You know, the answer would tell a lot. And now I'm speaking about that honest conversation. You know, that real conversation. Not something that you just say because you've been taught to say it or say, no, I wish, congregation of Picture Butte, that everyone here tonight would now say, truly, young people, you too, children, but also fathers, mothers, grandpas, grandmas, what would it be? If you look at real life, those answers are sometimes quite evident. How many parents are busy day and night so that their children would excel in sports or come home with the highest grades? See, you wouldn't say that if you were personally asked for that last wish. But in life, you do show your answer. That's why I asked. Boys and girls, what would it be? What would you say? If you're always busy with your next present, or if you're always behind that computer game, if you can't get away from it, then I know the answer. You would like to have the latest update. You would like to have a better version, right? Because you show that. How many young people work to live and live to work. Their shiny pickup is what they save their money for. Their job and making money is all they live for. How many people that have advanced in life are looking forward to their retirement? And maybe tonight they would say, yeah, but isn't that all legitimate? Yeah, it's all legitimate. But would it be your last thing to enjoy retirement? Oh, congregation, ask what I shall do for thee. Will you take the question home? Will you take a lesson from this final request? Psalm 27 puts it different. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Yeah, that's something else. And those people also work. And those people also have a home. And those people also need to pay their bills. And those people also send their children to school. Yes. And at the same time, one thing. Therefore, they sometimes can't sleep. Therefore, they sometimes are so burdened. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Ask what I shall do for thee. Elijah places the question before Elisha. And Elijah is very honest about it. He's very honest about it. He says, I don't have the ability to give this. And Elijah, he said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Because what Elisha asks is a double portion of thy spirit upon me. What that means, it doesn't say spirit with a capital. Elisha doesn't ask that the spirit of the Lord be upon him, but the spirit of Elijah. So, perhaps the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of knowledge, the fear of the Lord. And then a double portion, you know. In essence, that double portion belonged to the firstborn in Israel. That double portion actually referred to an inheritance. And that blessing that Elisha covets here, that reminds us of a kind of inheritance. Something very precious. When Elijah says, thou hast asked a hard thing, then he means to say that's a very precious thing. Yeah, because spiritual things, congregation, are very precious things. And now Elijah says, that I don't have, that I cannot give. Grace is not inherited. If you ask that, Elisha, I must disappoint you. Oh, Elijah feels his poverty. Ministers are so poor of themselves, congregation. They have nothing to give. And Elisha feels it also. He feels his poverty and his weakness and his blindness, and he begs for a double portion. So there are two people speaking there in their needs. There are two people, Elijah and Elisha, both servants of the Lord, that stand there in their poverty. And both know what the Lord is going to do. And they cannot talk about it. Our congregation. And still there is something. Do you see it now? There is something. But that grace that Elisha asks for is not inheritance. Are there such here tonight? Such people are necessary in the church. Are there here such parents? When their children come with questions that they must say, oh boy, oh dear daughter that I cannot give you. Are there office bearers here that so often feel their need, that so often stand as a missing creature? Are there teachers here in church that so often are called to give out hard things and they have it not of themselves? When a double portion is asked, thou hast asked a hard thing. But you know, the Lord of Elijah, the God of Elijah, he will now never say that. He will never say, thou hast asked a hard thing. Let that be an encouragement for all those in authority. Let that be an encouragement that the God of Elijah says that to teachers, to office bearers, to fathers or mothers in the homes. Stronger yet, come with those hard questions. The Lord loves those impossible requests. Not a request for a nice birthday present, or for a bigger house, or for a bigger car, but questions about that way of salvation that can become such a hard thing. How I can become reconciled with a holy and a righteous God can become such a hard thing. When the Lord reveals in the way of discovery what lives in man, But sometimes that convicted people of God say, now stop, Lord. Is it that bad? Then grace can appear so far away. And yet they know that they cannot live without it. Oh, if they see their sins, which have multiplied from their youth up, when they wonder, can such sins yet be forgiven? Sins of youth, old sins, gross sins, sins again, better knowledge, bosom sins. And now the Lord never says, thou hast asked a hard thing. You know why? Because help has been laid upon one that is mighty. A congregation of Picture Butte, the God of Elijah invites those hard questions. Is there a soul here tonight that doesn't know how to become saved? Is there a soul here tonight that does not know how they can be reconciled with God? Oh, the Lord says, call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not, especially those things which are so impossible with man. Answers for guilt-ridden sinners who know not how to be saved. Ask of me questions that are hard. The Lord never says, thou hast asked a hard thing. Elijah feels his limits. But with him, the Lord, the God of Elijah, his grace is as white as the ocean. Oh, congregation, come then. Come with those questions. And say it then how it is. Say how it truly is. And you know, that people that becomes honest before God, they say how it is. And you know what they will confess? That in them that is in their flesh dwelleth no good thing. They will readily confess, Lord, that good that I would, I do not. And all that evil that I would not do, that I do. They become honest. And they come also with hard questions. But they come at the right place. There is nothing too hard for the God of Elijah. And he gives more grace. And he gives liberally. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally and abradeth not. Let's sing first. Number 71, stanzas 3, 4, and 5. My one request has been, and still this prayer I raise, that I may dwell within God's house through all my days, Jehovah's beauty to admire, and in his temple to inquire. Let's sing the stanzas 3, 4, and 5. Of number 71. Lessons, finally, from a majestic departure. Elijah's departure seems to have been sudden, even though he and others had knowledge of it. And now, my unconverted friend, lessons from a majestic departure. Pay attention once to what Elijah's Lord, when he came, found Elijah doing. Sometimes young people, they come with questions like, is this allowed? May we do that? Sometimes these questions can even be of another nature and be in the spirit of arguing. What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it? And then, of course, office bearers, parents, ministers, they all have to know the answer. They have to say this is allowed and that is not allowed, and the one may say this and the other may say that. Pay attention to what Elijah was doing. You know what is a very biblical advice? If you don't know if something is allowed or not, that's not in the first place to listen to your friends, because they can give you the wrong advice. Maybe even, and of course I don't hope so, but even parents could say the wrong thing. You know what you should always wonder and ask yourself? If now the Lord came and I was doing this or that, what would he think? What did he find Elijah doing on his final journey? And he was engaged in the work of the Lord, in an edifying discourse, concerned about the kingdom of heaven and the continuation of the same. Elijah was not only thinking about divine things, but also living in them. Living in them. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after. Then I still have my daily calling. Then I still have my busy family to take care of. Then I still have my work. Then I still must use all my talents, certainly. But blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Are you, am I, that faithful and wise servant? Or are you that evil servant that said in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming? You see, that's the parable. A faithful and wise servant and that evil servant who said, my Lord delayeth his coming, and began to eat and to drink with the drunkards. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of God, the Son of Man, cometh. And people of God, just for Elijah, so also for you. Your redemption draweth nigh. The time will come when you may lay down that weary head forever on the bosom of him that gave himself for you, where God shall wipe away all those tears, and there shall be no night there. And now that river can be deep, but now if that faith in the King of Glory is an exercise, then sometimes that river becomes a little less deep. I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And there in eternity, all those unanswered questions will all be solved. There God shall wipe away all the tears. Elijah does not have to go alone. And the Lord does not give dying grace before it is necessary. Blessed life to have the Lord for our portion. Then you have everything. Then you can go through this life, and then you can go out of this life. And now also this evening, the God of Elijah, he invites those hard questions. Also those things that will not be solved on this side of the grave. The Lord knows about them. And Christ said, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Amen. Lord, this evening thou gave us to pause at lessons from the farewell of Elijah. Grant, Lord, that we may take it to heart. If we might only carry one such a lesson home, it would be a blessing. Grant it to children, young people, older ones, younger ones. And bless thy word to the extension of thy kingdom. Lord, wilt thou remember us in the week we have entered. Strengthen us for our daily calling. Protect us. Take none of us away unprepared. And bless thy word of this day. Protect us also as we travel homeward in the day of tomorrow. And remember the congregation we left behind in this day. Bless us together undeserved. Forgive all that was said and done amiss in this day. Sanctify thine own word. Cleanse us from all our sins. And hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Number 32 is our closing psalter. And let's sing. And the stanzas 3 and 4. 3 and 4 of number 32. O thou that ever savest those who trust on thee, is stayed, preserving them from all their foes. And by thy almighty aid, let me thy loving kindness see, thy wondrous mercy full and free. 3 and 4 of Psalter 32. Congregation, receive now the blessing of the Lord, and afterward go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.